not done yet. Well, the Advent season is about preparation. And I think they've done a lot of preparation, don't you? Didn't they do a good job? Well, in dealing with preparation, I got just a few things I want to share with you this morning. Get some of this turned off here. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent from your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. John's clothes were woven with coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food he ate locusts and wild honey, and people from Jerusalem and from all Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. You brood of snakes, he exclaimed. Who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is posed, ready to sever the root of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. You know, when it comes to a wilderness, you know, we really don't like a wilderness. We don't like the desert. Oh, we might like to visit it. Might like to hike through it. And some people really like to live in a natural wilderness. But when it comes to the desert or the wilderness of our life, we don't like them. We don't like those hard times. We don't like those dry places. Because they look like scarcity. They look like need. They do look like hard times. It's a place where we need help. And, well, let's face it. Most of us don't like to ask for help. We like to do it ourselves. You know, we're like Eli. Eli will look right at you and go, no, I do it myself. And that's the way we are a lot of times as adults. We want to do it ourselves. We don't want to ask for help. Even when we reach a point in life when we really need to ask for help, we don't want to do that. Because somehow asking for help makes us look vulnerable. Or maybe it really makes us feel vulnerable. But now we have to be dependent on someone else and not ourselves. But the thing about the wilderness part of life, that's just it. It's a natural part of life. Every one of us at one time or another are going to find ourselves in a desert wilderness place. We're going to find ourselves in a place where we need help. We've seen it's always been a part of life. When Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, where was he living? In a wilderness, a desert place. And not only was he living there, but because of the very fact that he ran from Egypt in the first place, he was living in a wilderness place in his life. And then the children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 more years or longer. And not only were they in a desert place, physically, they were in a desert place spiritually because they kept turning their backs from God. And we even find Jesus spent time in the wilderness. You know, that's going to tell us we're going to spend time there too. Every one of us. It's going to come. But the wilderness doesn't have to be a place of defeat. The wilderness really can be a place where we can anticipate something new. We can look forward to something new coming out of this wilderness. We can look for that something new. We can look for something better in a new place when we can leave this old wilderness place and discover the new place. In Matthew chapter 3, we find John the Baptist in a wilderness. You know, we don't know a whole lot about John the Baptist. After Zechariah names him John, we don't hear anything else about him until now. And we find he's been living in a wilderness. And now he's come to the Jordan River. Matthew portrays John as a prophet. In fact, he connects him to Elijah by the way he describes the way he was dressed and the food that he ate. And John came with a message for Israel, and that message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, even though John was living in a natural wilderness, the children of Israel were living in a spiritual wilderness. They were living without God. And we discover that some of them had a hunger for something new. And they went out to see John, and as they believed John's message and repented, he baptized them. Today we are in the second Sunday of Advent, preparing for Christ's coming. And you know, in essence, we are in the wilderness looking for something new. So how do we prepare for Christ's coming? How do we prepare? Whether we're talking about His first coming, where we celebrate the baby who came and was born and laid in the manger, or whether we're celebrating His coming into our own lives, or whether we're celebrating the fact He's going to keep His promise and come again, how do we prepare? And really, there's only one way to prepare, and that is we have to repent. Repent. You know, repenting is turning from what we have been doing and turning toward Christ. And John's message was to turn around because Jesus is coming. That was his message to the people who came out to the Jordan to hear him. Turn around because Jesus is coming. We prepare for Jesus' coming by repenting, turning from what we've been in the past. You see, part of the reason we don't like the wilderness areas is because we really like to think we're self-sovereign. We can do it ourselves. That's what we like to think. We are the king of our castle or the queen of our castle, and we can do it ourselves. We want to do it ourselves, and we want to do it our own way. But you know what? That song that Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley made so popular, "I Did It My Way," isn't going to cut it. Not if we're going to be ready when Jesus comes, because we can't do it my way. We're going to have to do it God's way, and God's way is to repent. John also tells us, or Matthew tells us about John, that he came as one who the Isaiah the prophet had talked about to clear the road. So we prepare also by clearing the road. When a king came, the people would know he was coming in advance, and they would go out and do everything they could to fill up all the potholes, get all the debris off the road, because what they wanted was, when the king came, they wanted him to have a nice, smooth ride into their town, into their village, because they didn't want the king upset when he got there. Have you ever traveled on a pothole road? You live in Arkansas? If the road had a lot of potholes in it, how did you feel when you got to your destination? You was aggravated. And you was especially aggravated if you hit one of those potholes and had a blowout. You were really aggravated. They didn't want that. They wanted a smooth ride for the king. You know the thing about our lives is they're full of potholes. We got potholes in our life. We've got the distractions in our life. There are situations in our life that are not appropriate for the king. And if the king is going to come, we've got to take care of those potholes. Those situations are going to have to be taken care of. But here's the deal, we can't save ourselves. We can't do it. No matter how hard we try, we can't save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't be moral enough. We can't be ethical enough to prepare ourselves for the coming of the King. You know, the Bible tells us we're saved by grace. We have to put our faith in God's grace. It's God's grace and God's grace alone that is going to really prepare our lives for the coming of the King. God's grace. So we can't fix our lives. It doesn't matter how hard we try, we can't fix our lives, even though we try. We can't fix ourselves enough to be prepared for the coming of the King. There's really only one thing we can do. There is a decision we have to make. You see, we can make the decision. We want the grace of God to fix our potholes. We want the grace of God to fix our road. We want the grace of God to clean it up. We want the grace of God to smooth it out. We want the grace of God to make every situation in our life appropriate for the King. God's grace is the only thing that can do it. But we have to make the decision we want that grace. We want it applied to our lives so that every situation in life will be appropriate for Jesus to enter. And as we do that, and as we repent, seeking forgiveness, we discover forgiveness. But at the same time, we also have to begin a new way of thinking that keeps the road clear. You see, we can't keep living the way we lived before. There's got to be a change that takes place. And so we choose to follow Jesus, and we choose for God's grace to come into our lives, and then we have to choose to keep walking this road, to keep allowing the grace of God to work within our lives. Because, folks, repentance has expectations. Repentance has expectations. It requires a whole new way of living. What we once did, we don't do anymore. What we used to wouldn't do or think of doing, now we have to do if it honors and glorifies God. And so repentance has expectations. We have to begin, as John said, to bear fruit of repentance. We have to begin to bear fruit that acknowledges and shows that we have accepted God's forgiveness within our hearts and lives. And so what we discover is repentance demands commitment. And that's probably a word that most people run from today. Commitment. But repentance demands commitment. That we would commit ourselves wholly, totally, and completely to God. We're His. We're not our own anymore. We're His. And so we commit ourselves to God. But it also, repentance also demands obedience. Here's the deal. You can repent from now until Jesus comes again, until you're blue in the face, but if you do not obey God, your repentance is in vain. Repentance demands obedience. You know, that's why we teach and mentor and equip people to be authentic followers of Jesus Christ, teaching them what Jesus taught, because if we have to teach them so they can follow the teachings of Jesus and know what to obey. We're to obey God. Because here's the deal. If you don't obey God, you don't love Him. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. You will do what I say. You will obey. So repentance has these demands. It has these obligations. And so John says, to prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. So what is demanded is more than just lip service. It's more than just what we say. It's how we live. It's more than just getting wet in baptism. It's living in such a way that we recognize and are recognized as God's people. So for Jesus to come, repentance is required. Probably one of the things that we struggle with as Christians oftentimes is we fail to remember that repentance is not a one-time thing. Oh, we'd like to think it is, but repentance is not a one-time thing. If repentance was a one-time thing, Jesus would not have taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer for Christians, forgive us our debts, our sins, our transgressions, as we forgive those who do those things against us. You see, we have this problem as being human beings. We like to coast. You know, have you ever been driving on these nice hills in Arkansas and you accelerate to get up the hill? And then what do? When you top the hill, you get off the gas and you coast down the hill. Because if you stay on the gas, you're going to be going too fast by the time you get to the bottom of the hill. So you coast. In our Christian spiritual lives, we like to coast. Sort of what we see the Pharisees and the Sadducees doing. They were doing a lot of coasting. And John denounced them. He said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing, for God can create children of Abraham from these very stones." You see, here's the deal. God created the stone, and God created us. And they tell me in the Hebrew language, the two words for stone and son, or us, are very close together. They're really close. And so there's this comparison made between the children of God and stones. And it's not the only time we see this comparison. We also see it in the triumphal entry, remember? If the people are quiet, the stones will cry out. You see, God is able to raise up whatever He wants to raise up. He created it all. But what He wants is to raise up people. That's what He wants to do. He can raise up a stone anytime because a stone has no way to think, no decisions to make. It's just an inanimate object that's there. But what God wants to raise up is people. But you see, if He's going to raise up people, repentance is necessary. We give God that permission to send His grace into our life and to raise us up as children of God. The danger for us comes in when we begin to rely upon our lineage instead of relying upon God. You know, we like to live off our parents. Our parents were good Christian folks. We like to live off our grandparents. They were good Christian folks. We like to live off them, and they were good Christian folks, and they taught us how to be good Christian folks. They taught us how to live ethically. They taught us how to live morally, and we listened to them, and we have obeyed our parents, and now we live these good, ethical, moral lives. And like to call ourselves Christians without grace, ever having been applied to our life. Well, the truth is, we can't live off of our parents and our grandparents. We have to accept God's grace ourselves. But you know, living off our lineage doesn't stop there. You see, neither can we live off our personal past. We can't live off our personal past. You know, there was that time in my life when I accepted God and I was on fire for God, and now I've begun to coast. I'm not as on fire as I once was, and I'm not doing what I once was for God out of love. Maybe I'm doing it out of obligation, but I'm not doing it out of love. And we begin to look at our life and we go, well, I'm a Christian. I live my life like a Christian. Or maybe we look and go, I go to church. I've gone to church for a long time. I've always gone to church. Man, my folks took me to church. I've gone to church all my life. All right, hey, I pay my tithe every Sunday. Boom, I drop it in the plate. I'm a good person. I'm doing what God said to do. But there's no fire in my heart. The love's grown cold. I'm coasting along. I have spent years doing what I know to do, and now it's just done out of routine. It's just what I do. Because you know, I've got it all figured out. I've been in the church long enough. I've got it figured out. I don't need to repent. I've got my Abraham. I know how it's done. I've got my Abraham. I'll depend on him. You know, if we want to get out of the wilderness, if we want to know the excitement of being a Christian again, if we want to begin to see ourselves serving God out of love, not out of duty, if you want to see Jesus coming, if you really want to celebrate His birth, if you really want to celebrate the very fact that He lives within your heart, if you really want to look forward with anticipation to His coming again, then you need to begin to see with new eyes. And that takes repentance. That takes taking a hard look at what I've been doing and how I've been doing it and why I've been doing it. And if it's not been with the right motive and with the right reason, saying, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. And you see, that's the thing about us. We can have the best of intentions and we can try to do everything with the best of intentions, but sometimes even with the best of intentions, it doesn't work out right. And you know when it doesn't work out right, you know what's happened? Your road just got a pothole. And you need the grace of God to come and fix the pothole. So what area in your life do you need new eyes? What area in your life do you need to see with fresh new eyes? What in your life needs to change if you're really going to experience the anointing of God upon your life again? Where do you need to have some potholes filled up and the road cleared away to where the King can come in as He wants to come in? You see, God did not raise up rocks to be children. He did not call rocks to be children. He called us. That's who He called to be His children, us. And Advent is a time for us to enter our own wilderness places. You know, those those places we usually try to avoid. We don't even want to think about those places. We don't want to confront those places. We don't want even to think about it. But they are areas that are causing debris and potholes in our spiritual life. Areas that are keeping us from being all God wants us to be. It's time for us to confront those areas. To ask God to give us new eyes to see these areas as He sees them, and then it's time for us to repent. You see, the way God's grace always comes into our life is through repentance. That's the way it comes. As we repent, He comes and He clears the road and He fills the potholes. And then we begin to bear fruit of repentance as children of God, serving Him out of love. And you know the good news? The good news is when we take that first step toward God, that very first step, when we acknowledge that we need God's grace in our life, when we take that first step, God's there to do all the rest. His grace is there to do all the rest. All we have to do is rely on His grace. And His grace will fix our life like we never can. As we receive His grace and repentance, we can anticipate Jesus' coming. and His Spirit into our lives, purifying us, making it possible for us to live as God intended for us to live as children of God. You know, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Jesus' birth, the day we celebrate, is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world? Or you got some potholes that need to be filled? Jesus is coming. He wants to renew His presence in your life. He wants to renew the relationship that you have with Him. He wants to set your heart on fire for Him. Are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come? Jesus is coming. He promised He would. He's coming again. He's coming for everyone who has relied on His grace to fix their lives. He's coming. Don't know when, but He's coming. Are you ready? Have you repented of your sins, asking God to send His grace and His Son into your life and to cleanse you from all sin? And now you're looking forward with anticipation for the coming of the Son of God. You see, is He your Savior today? There's only one way He can be. And that's when you repent and believe in Him. Dear God, this morning we thank You so much for Your Word. Dear God, we thank You today for Your grace. A grace that covers and removes everything from our life that is not appropriate for the King. And as You speak to our hearts this morning, dear God, may we not fall back on the fact we have been following You for a long, long time. May we not fall back on the thing that we are in church almost every Sunday. Dear God, this morning, may we simply fall back on Your grace and allow You to examine our hearts and for us to be honest with You about where we're at. And God, this morning, if You bring anything into our minds today that is hindering our walk with You, anything, may we be faithful this morning to say, God, I'm sorry. May Your grace be applied to my life today. And may I know again the freshness and the newness of Your Spirit and Your person in my heart and my life today. Dear God, to this morning may we be faithful to say, I hear Your call, Lord. Forgive me. And may I know Your presence in my life. Would you just take a few moments this morning and have a conversation with God and allow Him to have a conversation with you? Dear God, this morning we thank You for grace. A grace that we can depend upon, a grace that we can rely on, a grace that makes us into children of God. And as we continue to journey toward Christmas, and even beyond, dear God, may our life bear fruit of us being Your children. May it be seen in our life May the fruit of your Spirit be so vivid within our life, dear God, that we are a light to the world. And someone else discovers Jesus is coming. We thank you and we praise you today, dear God, for all of your goodness and your blessings to us. Go with us as we journey through this week. And may we be your children, loving and serving you. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.